following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good morning, everyone. It is officially football season, I guess. It's Tom, I'm Jim Ozarski along with Tom Silverstein of the Journal Sentinel, PackersNews.com. And we've been in camp, but I don't know, Tom, for me, cut down day means the start. You know, it's a 53-man roster. It means game week. And that's where the Packers are at here. It's Sunday, September 6th. Brian Gutekunst trimmed his 80-man camp roster down to an initial 53. Let's make sure we clarify it that way because this will change here.
It's going to change.
It's in, even as you're listening to this, maybe things are being done. But, you know, all through camp, if you've been listening to us on the Green 19 podcast, we've been saying, look, there's really not a whole lot available in terms of roster spots with this club. It's a pretty set group. I think we saw that. Maybe some, you know, small surprises. Again, I think if you listen to the podcast, you there might be only one that really pops, one or two. So we'll get to that. But Tom, let's open it up. What were your initial thoughts after this all kind of shook out, you know, by 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon?
I thought it was pretty much what we thought it would be, you know, with some minor surprises, but you know, nothing was a surprise, you know, like out of the blue surprise, like a Josh Sitton getting waived kind of surprise. It was minor, you know, like I always thought Jake Kumerow was on the bubble. I didn't think he was a lock to make it. I'm a little surprised he made it, but or didn't make it, but I think that was, you know, it came down to a numbers game and potential. And I think he's reached his potential, and I think the other guys haven't. So that was probably only one. I was not surprised Alex Light got cut. I mean, I thought maybe they'd keep him just because they have to have a tackle, but he had a terrible camp, and I wasn't surprised by that. And I don't know. Tim Williams, I was a little surprised at. That one surprised me a little bit. But for the most part, the roster, the guys that really matter, they're exactly who we thought they would be, as Dennis Green might say.
Yeah, there was I thought maybe, you know, when people were asking me, Tom, if there was a there's no Sitton-esque surprise on this roster. It would have been a guy like a Burks or a Josh Jackson if they just felt, you know, in year four, their sort of uneven play, you know, what's the difference as opposed to that first year guy. But in this unique area, I mean, those guys are vets. And so, yeah, they, you know, that just didn't have Alex Light. Honestly, Tom is probably the one that fits it. He would have been, this is his third camp with the team. They've seen him in games. So, you know, they went with hit, you know, a Yash Nyman over an Alex Light. So, yeah, this is nothing really totally surprising. So let's just.
The one surprise I will say, the one that move, it wasn't a cut, but it was the fact that they kept KB Anento, corner. I was really surprised that they kept him on the 53. He's hurt. And that shows how much they really like him. I mean, if they're willing to keep him on the 53, they're worried that someone was going to pick him up. That's pretty impressive. Considering the guy was a wide receiver in college, this is just his second year playing corner.
Yeah, and reminder for folks, Ento spent all of last year on IR. He never made it to a preseason game. So, and then in this particular setting, he didn't even make it through, I guess, all the scrimmages, if you will, for lack of a better word. And yeah, he just, there's a Jones fracture in his foot. Obviously they feel they have one of the best foot doctors in the country, on staff with Dr. Anderson. So they must've felt, you know, he'll be a short-term IR case.
Yeah, those don't last a long time. I don't think those are horribly serious, the Jones fracture, right?
Yeah, well, I think it depends. Debo Samuel had suffered one in training. The 49ers activated him, but he had been out a few months. So I think it depends on the guy. It depends on the fracture. Mm-hmm. But clearly they felt, you know, but you're right. We'll get to that as we hit corners a little bit later. But
yeah, anyway.
No real shocks. So let's get right into it. The first position we'll sort of breeze through the quarterbacks. They kept three: Aaron Rodgers, Tim Boyle, Jordan Love. I mean, no shocks there. We knew that was going to happen. So let's go right to running back. And this was maybe where there was a roster battle to a degree. They kept four: Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon, Tyler Irvin, Jamal Williams. They did cut Dexter Williams. I thought Dexter really improved from this time a year ago. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we had talked about he was perhaps competing with Jamal Williams. And at the end of the day, Tom, I think Jamal Williams, again, a guy they know, a guy they can trust, and they don't have to worry about him at all in really any reason, pass protection, receiving,
running. Right. Jamal Williams could be a starting running back. I mean, he might not be Aaron Jones, but he's capable of being a starting running back and, you know, averaging 3.9 yards per carry or 4 yards maybe. He's just not going to be Aaron Jones. And so you got to keep a guy like that. And maybe they thought about trades, but really, if you got him on a fourth-year deal and – you know, you're worried about Aaron Jones because he's going to take some punishment and he's had some injuries, then you got to keep Jamal Williams. Dexter Williams is the one who has to go. I'll be interested to see if anybody claims him or signs him to their practice squad. You know, he may just say, screw it, I'm going somewhere else. And then the other one was John Lovett. A lot of people thought, or at least, you know, in some discussions I heard that they thought they have to have a fullback. But you and I talked about that, and I felt all along that Josiah DeGuara could do that, Sternberger could do that, and to some degree, Tanyan.
Yeah, and Williams, I think, Tom, really it was, he's making $2 million this year. And perhaps if there were a rash of running back injuries. I mean, look, I think if this was a preseason scenario, I wonder if he makes it here. You know what I mean? Because usually in the preseason is when you see a bunch of running backs get hurt.
Yeah.
But that's not the case, and I think the Packers clearly were happy, you know, to have Jamal Williams back for his fourth and likely final season in Green Bay. So let's go right to wide receiver because this is probably the most controversial, Tom. They only kept five. I think if you've been listening to us all camp, we've been trending in this direction. Davante Adams, Alan Lazard, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, of course. So really it came down to those last couple spots, and they elected to go with Equanimeous St. Brown and Malik Taylor. You've heard about Malik Taylor from us over these last few weeks.
Great timing on your story.
Yeah, so 6'1", 220. His body type is more like Davante Adams as opposed to everybody else. Spent last year on the practice squad out of Ferris State undrafted.
We could just see all through camp. That was the guy. There's always one unknown guy who just kind of stands out. Last year it was Lazard. You know, year before, Kumaro. 2 years ago, Geronimo Allison. I mean, there's always some guy, and Malik Turner was the guy this year, and you just couldn't deny him. He just was consistent, and he's got great size. He's, you know, comes from a small school, so, you know, there's some probably more to get out of him. So I think that was the right decision.
And I think Equanimeous St. Brown, to me, Tom, I don't think he's had a good camp, but
I don't either.
There's too much talent there. Yeah, I think they just still don't know. And they've got to go back to what they like you know, his rookie year at the end of the McCarthy's first season, you know, where he did show a little bit, obviously spent all of last year on IR, had some sort of injury for a couple of days here, this camp. But he's essentially Jake Kumerow, except younger. And that the big bodied guy who can play on special teams. So, you know, he'll have to step up in that regard, Tom, but you know, Taylor's really the one. I mean, Kumerow was the oldest player in the room, to be honest. So I think they knew what he was, and yeah, they're sort of gambling on the development, you know, with St. Brown and Taylor.
Right. I think so. And, you know, they're going to bring back Reggie Begelton. I think he just needed more time and more experience, or more game experience. And so this will give him a little time to continue to grow. He's still a young guy. And, you know, they could bring back I don't think they'll bring back Kumerow, do you?
You know, I struggle with that one, Tom, because in this interesting climate, he's a guy with game film, and he's a pretty fundamentally sound special teamer. So I don't know what the other issues are around the league. So, like, yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if he was claimed for a team looking for that sixth receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wouldn't be shocked if he isn't. You know, I mean, they clearly don't really care what the quarterback thinks anymore with this stuff. I mean, I think everyone that seemed to be the surprise was that, you know, the quarterback likes him, so he should be around. I mean, that's not really a reason, but I mean –
that's not going to go into Brian Gutekunst's
thought
process.
I think they'd rather – I mean, Begelton – I mean, how many receivers do you need on the 60-man practice squad, do you think? Shepard?
I think you need at least two more.
Okay, so Shepard and Begelton?
Maybe, or they – you know, there's going to be some guys out there that they might like.
Yeah.
That they want to take a look at. You know, this – I think the practice squad is going to be a rotating –
yeah.
Deal too. I think they'll be bringing in guys fairly regularly, assuming they can, you know, assuming that it's worth the 3-day wait.
Right.
Which will be the case if they haven't been on a roster. And that's going to be the case during the season. You know, if you're going to bring in street free agents, you got to wait 3 days. But I think they'll do some rotating on the practice squad, but they got to bring back at least one, maybe two guys who know the system.
Yeah.
Because who knows what happens on Sunday.
And yeah. So that makes me think Shepard is back, and that's why I think there's a chance Kumerow, because at the end of the day, you can't assume no COVID. You can't assume getting through the practice week healthy.
Right.
And just for a reminder for folks, with the new CBA, they can shuffle up two practice squad players anyway to the game day roster, mm-hmm. with a maximum active of 48 as long as there's an extra lineman. So, and then if there's a COVID scenario, they can go one for one. And so, you know, to me, Tom, I think a Shepard or a Kumerow fit, because you know they can play Sunday if one of those guys tests positive for COVID.
Right.
Whereas Begelton might be the guy who needs, just as you said, time. So that's why that makes sense to me. But we'll see. We'll know, you know, if you're listening to this, we'll have the practice squad. Again, go over to PackersNews.com. We got a tracker. We'll have all that stuff going. So, to tight ends, no shocks. Robert Tonyan, Jay Sternberger, Mercedes Lewis, Josiah DeGuara. Offensive line, they kept 9, which is the number I was convinced they would do with having 8 active on Sundays.
I was just going to say, regarding tight ends, I would assume they're bringing Evan Bayless back to practice squad.
That would make sense. He spent time going back and forth last year. I thought he had some drops throughout camp, but they worked him in a bit. He actually did look a little better than a year ago to me. So offensive line, let's get the 5 out of the way, or the top 6. Bakhtiari, Corey Lindsley, Lane Taylor, Elton Jenkins, Billy Turner, Lucas Patrick, Rick Wagner, they kept that. You know, I think as this went on, Tom, you know, maybe there was some thought we wondered, oh, but I think the injuries to Turner and Wagner, you just kind of I don't think you could have moved either. You know, you could have moved Rick Wagner. So now the last two,
right?
Rookie John Runyon out of John Runyon Jr. out of Michigan, kind of your swing interior lineman to go with Lucas Patrick. And then really Yash Nyman. He's the one they kept over Alex Light as the backup left tackle, if you will. And which is interesting because he spent most of last year on the practice squad, was called up to the 53, and then immediately got hurt in practice and finished the year on IR with an elbow injury. He just came off PUP. I mean, just a couple practices.
Yeah. So who's your left tackle going into backup left tackle going into Minnesota?
It's got to be Nyman.
Wow.
Or do they feel, Tom, it's Rick Wagner is going to be good to go, and so Billy Turner's active, but they'd rather not have Billy play?
Maybe. How about this? What if they wind up playing Lane Taylor at left tackle and Elton Jenkins at right tackle?
Yes, that would, if you were to have a worst case scenario, I guess yeah. Lane Taylor's done that. And Elton Jenkins, I mean, I think he played right tackle a couple games a few years ago in college, but he's been repping there.
I think you're just right. I think Yash Nyman is going to have to be ready to play. It's scary, but you don't cut an Alex Light unless you think you have a backup. And they're banking on Nyman being ready.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, if that's the case, all of a sudden you see a lot of 12 personnel with Yash Nyman and Mercedes Lewis as a combo left tackle group.
Yeah,
you know,
back too.
Yeah. So so for people who may not know Yash, undrafted free agent a year ago, Rutgers, right, Tom?
Virginia Tech,
sorry. He's from Jersey. That's why I'm at the Rutgers in my head. But anyway, huge man, 6'7". He's really, really athletic. His feet are really fast and quick for a guy that size. And really, that's the trade-off. You don't teach that. You hope you can teach technique and everything else. I'm a little incredulous, Tom. I mean, you don't really find, you know, like franchise guys as undrafted tackles, you know, but you do have to develop and have low paid players in the back end of those rooms. And he fits that mold.
Yeah. I mean, he was a big time recruit coming out of high school, and mostly on his athletic ability. And he played left tackle in college, so he had the experience, but there were a lot of knocks on him. And Packers got him into camp, and we're like, well, he's moving pretty well, and he seems to have cleaned up a lot. I even thought there were some times when he first came out this past week that he looked okay. I mean, there were a couple of times he got beat, but in the one-on-one pass drills, you can really see the guy can swarm someone. He's so long and so big. And with those good feet, if he ever perfects his technique, he could be pretty good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think so we'll see who is up on that first Sunday of the active 48. So let's flip to defense. And this is where some of the interesting roster decisions had to be made for Brian Gutekunst. And one of them was right in his face on the D-line. No surprises here. Kenny Clark, Dean Lowry, Kingsley Kiki, Tyler Lancaster, and Montrevious Adams. The question is Montrevious Adams was carted off the field way back on August 18th, a couple days into practice with a toe injury. We saw him in a boot, and then he finished out camp, you know, sort of watching without the boot from sideline. So really, Tom, is he in a position, do you think, to start practicing this week, or is he a short-term IR candidate and they'll look to fill the room, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday with a waiver claim or a practice squad promotion?
I would say if he can't play this week, if he's not ready, then he's an IR guy. Then they have to bring up, you know, have to sign either Willington Prevalon or Trayvon Hester. Now, Hester, I don't know. He got waived injured, right?
Yes, he was waived injured.
So they've given up on him. So either they think Montrevious Adams is going to play or they're going to sign Prevalon or someone else. You know, you could go into Minnesota with, you know, how many D linemen would that be?
Four.
I'd be a little worried about doing that, especially if they're going to line up and try to run on you all day long. So I think they got to find a fifth.
Yeah, and I guess it would be interesting if they felt, you know, essentially Rashawn Gary would be that fifth guy if, you know, Adams was down, but they didn't fill it. You know, if they didn't short-term IR him, but he also didn't play.
Yeah, you could line him up at end.
Yeah.
You could get away with that.
So right behind those D linemen comes the next roster issue. Four inside linebackers, Christian Kirksey, Oren Burks, Ty Summers, and then the rookie Kamal Martin, who has already had knee surgery for a meniscus. Tom, that's the Packers tend to be pretty conservative anyway. So I don't see how this is not a short-term IR situation, you know, here in the next 24, 48 hours for Kamal Martin.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're looking at, you know, at least a month that he's out, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, they did the surgery right away to start the clock, you know, but if you're talking about a meniscus and a knee, I mean, even if they just shave that off, you know, I mean, everyone likes to point to Adrian Peterson. It still takes – you're talking about a guy who needs that lateral movement and, you know, there is a little bit of rehab. And then that practice work, I guess I'd be – you know, I'm not a – I've had a bunch of knee surgeries. I've had meniscus repaired and shaved off, Tom. But it's – these guys don't surprise me, but can you really go 4 weeks with a – I mean – just especially with Oren Burks' injury history, Tom. I mean, unless they have three, four inside linebackers on the practice squad, can you really do that? Raven Green's hurt. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel they'd be really rolling the dice just knowing he'd be inactive for 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Again, it comes down to how much nickel they think they're going to play. And I don't know. I think it's going to be, you know, you don't want to see Pettine be given the chance to play nickel more than he should. You know, I bet you Brian Gutekunst wants to force him into more two linebacker sets, but they're just not going to be able to do that. So, yeah, I don't know what else you could do. They could sign Todd Davis, who's let go by Denver, but that's a short-term fix. You know, he's been around a while. No sign that they're interested as of yesterday, so.
Yeah, Brian Gutekunst, you know, Antonio Morrison, B.J. Goodson, he's not afraid to just kind of plug and play at inside linebacker. It's I just feel with Martin, it's, man, I feel that they – venture to be conservative, in my opinion, but especially with a rookie who was really impressing and had already had a knee issue on the other one, you know, and how many of those can you start to stack and kind of rush a guy back?
Right.
Exactly. So, yeah. So outside linebacker, they kept five, one more than a year ago. And, you know, the back end of this room was, I think, Tom, the most competitive, a lot of potential. And as you mentioned at the top, a slight surprise. So let's Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary. We knew. They elected to go with second year man Randy Ramsey and seventh round draft pick Jonathan Garvin to finish the room. They cut Tim Williams, who spent most of last year on the practice squad after being acquired on waivers from Baltimore. They moved on from rookie Tipa Galay, who, though, I think they'd love to have him back on the practice squad. And yeah, Ramsey, he's missed the last few practices with a groin injury. I saw 56 everywhere early in camp. I thought he looked fast in coverage next to Christian Kirksey. That really impressed me early. So he would be, I guess, the guy. I mean, Garvin, I didn't really see 53 running around in coverage. Because one of those two guys is going to have to cover somebody. Yeah. You know, the other three aren't. So I don't know. What did you make of Randy Ramsey, you know, making it to the 53 and then Jonathan Garvin?
Yeah. Ramsey, as someone pointed out on Twitter, and I kind of agree, is that he's a tease. You know, he's a guy who has a lot of ability, but he's never been able to stay healthy. And that's going to be the key, is if he can stay healthy, he's got a lot of talent and he can help them. He really is going to probably have to help them. You know, you got Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, Rashawn Gary, and then who's your fourth outside linebacker? I guess it's Garvin or Ramsey.
Yeah, Ramsey's still dealing with this groin, Tom, so unless he comes back to practice Wednesday, I feel like it's Jonathan Garvin, at least for Minnesota.
Right, right. And right now I think he's a third down pass rusher. I don't know if he could handle the down by down, but he does seem like he's pretty smart, and that, you know, he's got some size that the other guys don't. I think he's like 257. So he might be able to handle the run game a little bit better. We'll see. But, you know, he's still a rookie.
Yeah, and also Jonathan Garvin, just 21 years old, kind of fits that Kenny Clark model of a very, very young player who, you know, could be ascending in Brian Gutekunst's eyes. To corner, they kept six. It's a decent number. The usual guys, Jair Alexander, Kevin King, Chandon Sullivan, Josh Jackson, Kadar Holman. And then, as we mentioned at the top, that probably the biggest surprise roster inclusion, undrafted free agent out of Colorado in 2019, Kabion Ento. Really fascinating prospect, Tom. That's all we can say. Clearly the Packers love him to death. He was really more of a specialist coming out of Colorado. He didn't play much his 2 years there, one of which he was hurt or redshirted, excuse me. Actually kind of made his name on special teams. If you guys go Google his 40 time, you're like, oh, it's 4.5. What is that? But he's actually got a three cone or a short shuttle get off, Tom, where it's faster than that, I guess. And he just hasn't practiced. He hasn't been healthy. He feels like a short-term IR candidate as well.
The thing I noticed with him the first year was his ball skills.
Yeah.
You know, anytime he was around the ball, he was on it. And so he's got those wide receiver instincts. And I think that's what they really liked about him. He was willing to go for it. He knows when to go for it. He just has to keep working on being a corner. And they think there's a lot of potential. I liked him a lot in camp last year. This year, I didn't see the same number of plays, and he got beat some. But they saw enough. And that's all that matters, really.
Yeah, and if he's a short-term IR candidate, that sets up the inclusion of perhaps a Stanford Samuels III, who was really impressive in camp as an undrafted rookie, or a Deshaun Amos, the CFL import, who also played well, but they were also cut and could be back on the practice squad. And who knows, be on the 53.
I think Deshaun Amos can help you right away. I don't know if Stanford Samuels can.
Yeah. So. For sure, at least on the promotion. But so I could see both being signed again. And then, you know, maybe Amos is the one lifted right away if they want to go with six corners. So safety, five safeties. But if you've been paying attention, probably not too surprising. We got Adrian Amos, Darnell Savage Jr., Raven Green, Will Redmond, who for us were pretty much locks all along. They did keep the rookie out of TCU, Vernon Scott. Late round pick. Tom, for me, Vernon Scott flashed because he also was around the ball a little bit. I don't recall any interceptions, but it felt like he was around. And I know that's probably not very exciting to say without games for fans, but clearly they saw something with his recognition and ability to kind of process things that Mike Pettine asked of his safeties, right, to keep a fifth one.
Yeah, and I think they like his size for that nickel position.
Yeah.
He'd be a decent guy to have near the line of scrimmage. He's bigger than Raven Green. He's bigger than way bigger than Will Redmond. So that's the type of guy, you know, he's, I'm not saying he's as talented, but he's more along the Cam Chancellor type of safety, you know, tall, long, and has some weight to him. So I think that's probably why they kept him.
There's potential there. Yeah, so we will see. I could see him being part of that inactive list, especially if Raven Green is healthy and Jerry Gray had told us he expects Green to be good to go to practice this week with whatever his undisclosed injury was. And then the specialist, as we know, Mason Crosby, J.K. Scott, Hunter Bradley. So that's the initial 53, Tom. You know, again, this is going to change maybe some IR moves here and a couple of shuffles up the practice squad or – You know, maybe they don't have to make any of those decisions really until Tuesday, so they can get guys signed and in the building and practicing Wednesday, especially if there is a claim or a street free agent that's currently hanging out in Green Bay in a hotel room quarantining for a Monday tryout, you know, like Devin Smith, for instance, that receiver. So a couple of things, you know, still on the table, but this is the start of the 2020 Packers season with their initial 53-man roster.
Yeah, and I don't think there's going to be a lot of surprises on the practice squad either. You're going to see most of the same guys back, and that's, you know, that's who the Packers are, and that's who we're going to see going into the Vikings on Sunday.
Yeah, so it's game week, so you will hear from us now twice a week, Thursdays and post-game, right, Tom? Is that what we're doing?
I believe that's right, yes.
So lock us in, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, as Bomani Jones says, because if you don't, you're a hater, and that's all it is. But we appreciate you guys listening, bearing with us through this very interesting and unique training camp period. We're looking forward to getting into the season and see what this may bring because – oh, by the way, it's still a pandemic and, you know, things can change on the fly. So be sure to, again, subscribe, jsonline.com/deals. Head over to packersnews.com. Download that app. Turn on the notifications. And, yeah, we will be with you every step of the way. So for Jim Lazarski, that's me. For Tom Silverstein, that's him. We will talk to you in a few days.